Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I'm fantastic, even though you're singing for some reason, so I'm worried you got that disease where you hear everything is singing and want to join in.
That's
okay.
What disease is that?
A disease. I don't know. It was on Scrubs.
Scrubs is not a documentary, Matt. I hate to break
Are you sure?
Yes. Quite positive.
So all doctors aren't neurotic and spend all their time making out in closets?
Not all of them, no.
Okay, well, that's good, because I would hope some of them got around to medicine eventually.
That is important. Hey, guys. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. For only $2 a month, you gain access to all of our bonus material, bonus episode reviews that have been from this current season, monthly bonus episodes. I'm still writing weekly pieces about the show, a video of us eating and making and eating moon waffles. We're very close, within $10 of our next goal, which is to terrible drawings every single week from both of us that you can laugh at.
They'll be so bad.
They'll be really bad. You can laugh at us. And then even within sight of that one is a commentary pack of our top 10 episodes as they are now. We have someone to thank this week, Matt.
Yay!
I'll say she directed me to say Jess. Thank her for just Jess. So thank you, Jess, for your...
Jess, you rock.
For your support. We appreciate it.
You're rocking all by yourself, which makes it better.
Yeah, you know, any support is greatly appreciated. You can also help us out going to iTunes or wherever you listen to us. Give us a 5-star review. Subscribe to us. It really helps us out. Gets us higher up in those rankings and lets more people see us. And of course, you can suggest us to your friends. We really appreciate that. On to this week's episode is Lady Bouvier's Lover. Episode 1F21, originally aired May 12, 1994. Written by Bill Oakley, Josh Weinstein. Directed by Wes Archer. Finished 50th in the ratings and Nielsen rating of 10.0, third rate highest rated show on Fox that week, following Beverly Hills 90210 and Melrose Place.
It's just going to be terrible, terrible teen/20-something dramas all the way down.
I think it comes in and goes as Fox lineup changes around The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Because nowadays, The Simpsons are the highest rated show, like, seemingly every week. Like, as we've been doing those new episodes reviews, I've noticed that they are consistently number one again. So, you know, I think...
Makes sense.
You know, something we can keep an eye on. The chalkboard gag is, I will not retransmit without the express permission of Major League Baseball. Which is important. You know, they tell you not to.
It's true. They will come and get you. They're not quite as bad as the NFL, but they're pretty bad.
But with them...
And they're already spying at you.
With the amount of sports streaming, illegal sports streaming available online... I have a feeling they actually don't enforce that much.
That is probably true. They're trying the best they can, but, you know, they've actually got quite the good streaming setup of their own.
Yeah, Major League Baseball is, of all the major sports in America, is probably the best for if you want to watch their games online. Couch gag. Family runs the couch, but they break and shatter like glass.
They're fragile.
We've seen this one this season already. Episode guest stars Phil Hartman as Troy McClure, briefly. Again, another little hit-and-run job for Phil. He does a good job in his brief appearance. The episode begins with Krusty Clown, with Sideshow Mel having to direct the Monkey Town Philharmonic. It's a bunch of monkeys.
Once again, monkeys are evil.
They attack poor Mel. But this is just a segue to showing that it's Maggie's birthday. And the family is getting together to celebrate. Grandpa's coming over, as well as Marge's sisters and mother. Marge may have made a mistake by having Homer decorate Maggie's cake.
Homer, you didn't do a very good job frosting Maggie's birthday cake.
What? It's not McGaggy's birthday? Oh.
Hey, stop it. I made a special cake for you to ruin. It's over there.
I really like that Marge has the foresight to make a additional cake.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's very important when you have to know your family, and she does. She knows Homer will ruin whatever she makes.
Well, I mean, I'm honestly impressed that Homer didn't ruin. He only said McGaggy. Like, that's. I mean, like, it's correctable.
That's true. It'd be funny if it was Maggie with one G or M A G Y or something like that.
McGaggy's good. I like McGaggy. Maggie, we see Maggie in a dress, her first dress.
For a very brief second.
Before she ruins it.
She fights her Huggies.
Yeah, it's strange. She looks very, like a very small Lisa in a dress.
Yes, she does. She looks exactly like Lisa does in all the flashback episodes.
Yeah, it's a little, it's strange. It's an odd thing. We learned that we've already established that Maggie has an enemy in the one-eyebrow baby, Gerald. But
of course,
she also apparently she doesn't get along with any of the other babies. Which poor Maggie. I guess it's
true. I mean, it's weird because Lisa wants to, she just doesn't. Bart definitely does because he's the class clown. It's just Maggie will be the antisocial one that never talks to anybody.
Well,
kind of goes with her whole no talking thing already.
And with Lisa's wedding, we see her as like a punk rock teenager. So, you know, maybe
she's heavily anti-authority.
She's anti, yeah. Antisocial. We get a little birthday cake sequence for Maggie where she is absolutely terrified by the cake and all the people there. Because
that is pretty terrifying.
Both Grandpa and Marge's mother, Jacqueline. Do they even call her Jacqueline in this episode?
I think it... Well...
I can't remember
Grandpa
them.
Grandpa says Mrs. Bouvier.
Yeah, they say Mrs. Bouvier. I don't think they use her first name at all. It was very strange. But they get into argument about how to fix Maggie.
Put some Lister's carbolic unguent on a wad of cotton. Put the cotton in your ear. That'll stop them shakes.
No, no. What she needs is a balsam specific.
Balsam specific? Oof. While we're burning money, why don't we give her a curative galvanic belt, too?
Don't forget to give her Smeckler's powder.
Don't make fun.
Don't make fun, Matt.
I would never dream of making fun of all those completely not made up products.
And then they get what are you doing, Matt? What? Stop! I don't need that.
Aww,
I don't need all that. Stop messing with the notes in the middle of episode. Then they
now I broke your brain. Yes.
No, they make Bart and Lisa do a quote unquote song and dance number, which I play it because I always this is the thing I think I most remember from this episode. Honestly, right?
Hot dogs. Armor hot dogs.
Sing it like you mean it.
What kinds of kids eat armor hot dogs? Fat kids. Skinny kids. Kids who climb on rocks.
Tough kids.
Zizzy kids. Even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs. Armor hot dogs. Fat dogs. Kids love to bite.
Doesn't this family know any songs that aren't commercials?
They then proceed to the.
Oh, you didn't get the. I feel like Chicken Tonight.
I'm not gonna play Chicken Tonight as well because I think that fun in that is the chicken dance. Chicken Tonight is not as fun. And I like the Armor Hot Dog section in particular.
Well, yeah.
I don't think I knew anything about Armor Hot Dogs except that they had a song in The Simpsons. They still make hot dogs. You can still buy Armor Hot Dogs. Yeah, apparently you cannot buy Chicken Tonight in America anymore.
I never even knew what that was.
It was a chicken seasoning sauce thing.
Oh, okay.
It came in various flavors. Never really hit it off in America. It's still available in certain areas overseas. I looked all this stuff up on Wikipedia because I'm a lunatic.
It does sound like a lunatic thing to do. Good job.
Yeah, yeah. All the guests basically, but it's Grandpa and Mrs. and Marge's mother want to get home to watch Matlock. And we
old people like Matlock, get it?
I get it. They do like Matlock. Matlock Expressway. Marge is in bed with Homer after this, right? And then she's trying to play matchmaker. You know, she's saying maybe Grandpa and her mother can hook up. And so she arranges a dinner or lunch, a meal together. I don't think that the time frame is not necessarily important, but. They have a meal together. They have a similarity in that they both got ripped off by the same scam by a con artist who took their credit card numbers.
Hey, it's not a scam. If your credit card number is lucky, you win a prize.
Yeah, of course. Hey, Matt, you give me your credit card numbers and I'll let you know in a couple months if you're lucky.
I got a very special one. It's 5555555555.
What's the 3-digit code on the back? 555?
No, it's 102 actually.
Oh, okay. All right. Grandpa tries to charm, I guess he actually does charm Jacqueline a little bit. He does a little Charlie Chaplin bit. It's from a movie called The Gold Rush, where he dances with potatoes and forks.
Totally.
This is the first of two times that the blue-haired lawyer and Mr. Burns' thugs, I guess they're just general thugs. And
that's true. They're hired goons.
Hired goons. And, you know, I guess they are, in that line of work, you will work for anyone who's willing to pay you. They make Grandpa stop doing that, even though I'm fairly certain all the Charlie Chaplin movies are in the public domain now.
You never know.
They probably are tied up with, like, Universal or some film company probably has Disney'd their rights to them. But after this, what actually triggers Grandpa, quote unquote, falling in love with,
I couldn't really catch it. It was, I think when she was leaving, he was feeling really good and he's like, oh, this must be love. And that's a stroke. And then it's love.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he leaves and then I pulled this. So I just try to pinpoint exactly, but I'll play it.
You know, you remind me of a poem I can't remember, and a song that may never have existed, and a place I'm not sure I've ever been to.
You're so sweet.
Oh, I feel all funny. I'm in love. No, wait, it's a stroke. No, wait, it is love.
That is the sound of Grandpa rolling down onto the freeway.
It seems to be a Simpson trait that that happens to them when they're in ambulances.
Yeah. So Grandpa's in love. Maybe a little premature, but he is in love. And we go to commercial.
When we come back, we're introduced to a Troy McClure commercial on the Impulse Buying Network. Woo. Troy has on Roger Myers Jr., which we'll remember as he runs the Itchy and Scratchy Studios. He is selling a 100% guarantee to increase in value, not a guarantee, animation sale from Itchy and Scratchy. Bart, of course, is watching this and freaks out knowing that he absolutely has to have it. So he bumps into Homer, pickpockets Homer, and Homer also pickpockets him. Bart gets Homer's wallet. Homer gets Bart's slingshot. So they both kind of win, I guess.
Sure, Homer gets a slingshot, and Bart gets $350, we find out.
He gets a credit card, so he can get a lot of
that. That's true, I guess. He uses it for $350.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, as a 10-year-old kid, if you had told, like, if I had an animation cell from The Simpsons waved in front of me, and I had to find a way, I don't know, even if it was garbage, I would be tempted.
That's true. Luckily, the Simpsons animation styles are way better. Go buy them, kids. But Bart immediately uses Homer's credit cards to order it after attempting to use a federal breast inspector's card and... What's the other card he tries to use?
Garbage, whatever it is.
It's something stupid, and then the Visa card.
Of course.
He is successfully able to order the animation cell. However, the next day, maybe later that day, Marge is daydreaming about how great it would be for Grandpa and her mom to get together. And, of course, Homer sees this as a bad idea.
Well, I think it's wonderful that your father has fallen in love with my mother.
Well, I'm opposed to the whole thing. Damn opposed!
He's damn opposed. Damn opposed. Bart! Homer, what possible reason could you have against Grandpa being in love?
If he marries your mother, Marge, we'll be brother and sister. And then our kids, they'll be horrible freaks with pink skin, no overbites, and five fingers on each hand.
I don't think Homer quite understands how genetics works. Turns out it's not retroactive.
What? Matt, what?
It's not retroactive.
Oh, that makes so much more sense.
That's why if your parents die, you don't cease to be.
What? That's good news.
It's true. It's good news. So if you're looking to kill your parents, that's one.
Why would I kill my parents? Reason not to. I love my parents.
Well, you should, but just in case, know that you won't cease to exist if they happen to die. So, you know, you can call off your bodyguards.
But Back to the Future.
Well, that's what they die before you were born. See, with time, never mind. I'm not getting into this.
This
today.
Is very complicated. Okay.
And it's the most comprehensible time travel movie by far. If we start getting Terminator and Time Cop, we'll be here all day.
What about Looper?
Looper is surprisingly not that bad, but it's still, I think, a little. If we're talking single movies, it's less complicated than Back to the Future, but you get there eventually.
The most complicated ones are actually usually the ones that are most accurate.
That's true, because time travel is a very odd thing that we probably shouldn't try to do for a very long time until we understand it better.
Have you seen Primer, Matt?
I have not. I really need to.
It's really complicated, but it's probably the most accurate depiction of time travel if it was actually possible.
Which, thank goodness, it is not.
Yet.
Yet.
We'll get there.
Anyway, back to The Simpsons.
What?
Bart is waiting for the animation cell. He waits by the door, and every time something comes to the door for Homer Simpson, Bart tries to accept it. The first two times are punches to the face. One from a goon working for Frank Sinatra. One from a kid. It's the voice Squeaky Voice Teen, but it's not actually Squeaky Voice Teen. And finally, the mailman who has the, you know, what's that guy's called? The jaded older guy?
Wise guy,
yeah. It's his voice, but not quite his model, who gives Bart the cell and then punches him for making him wait. So everyone in Springfield likes to abuse children. Just the way it is, I guess.
It's pretty rough that is literally a child and they just punch him right in the face. It's pretty brutal.
Right? It's like, even if you are a kid, you shouldn't do those things, but come on now, that's just mean. But Bart gets the animation cell. It is strictly a tiny part of Scratchy's arm, I guess probably from the elbow down, if Itchy and Scratchy had elbows. So they're, Lisa and he are rather disappointed in this, but Nelson, of course, appears in Bart's thought bubble to laugh at Bart, which we then learn is Nelson actually having an out-of-body experience. He has fallen down at the Quickie Mart and is making a weird sound.
I thought that was really funny. It was really good.
As did I. Apu sees this and attempts to get Nelson out of the way because it's bad for business, not out of any concern for a fellow human being, of course.
Of course not.
Oh, no. We then see Grandpa talking about his plans for his date with Mrs. Bouvier, and apparently he wants to smooch her like a mule eating an apple, which just does not sound like a good idea.
It's just really gross sounding.
It really, really is. He makes some kind of weird mouth movements, and I think takes his teeth in or out at one point. Don't do that. I don't think there's any human alive that would enjoy that. Luckily for Grandpa, Homer is there with some surprisingly cogent advice.
Kid, that will never work. If you want to make your move, you gotta play it cool. Now what you gotta do if you want to get a kiss is act real smooth and make your move like this.
Oh, I see. So if I take your advice and make your patented move, then my chances for love will slightly improve.
Now, what's that rule?
Play it cool.
Gotta love that smooth jazz background.
I mean, it's surprisingly good advice from Homer.
Homer is usually like, oh, let's come up with a crazy scheme of some sort. But this time Homer's like, nah, just be cool, man. Be cool. Which is good advice for pretty much everything you do in life. Just relax a little bit and go with the flow.
I have done some research, Matt. You can buy animation cells from The Simpsons right now for $440.
Holy crap, is a lot of money. Does it say what episode, or is it just kind of...
There's some on eBay. I don't think they're all real. Because they have one for like $30. I'm like, but there's one Frank Grimes and Smithers that's for $440. There's one.
So that's the next Batman on a horse for you?
There's a lot of those. You can get one of Marge from Homer Alone when she's at Rancho Relaxo.
Yeah.
$460.
Please, well then,
please.
I will.
Just save up those pennies.
Yeah, lots and lots of pennies.
Mm-hmm.
After Homer's wonderful advice, we see that Abe takes Jacqueline, or as Mrs. Bouvier, as he recalls her, to a dance at the Springfield Senior Center, where things start out okay for Abe, But Mr. Burns, surprisingly, cuts in, which is weird. Mr. Burns doesn't generally like being around people, but I guess he's at this particular dance. And it turns out he dances pretty well. They do what is this song, Robbie? I just can't think of the name.
It's called Sing, Sing, Sing.
That's right. We played it in marching band. Anyway.
Written by Louis Prima, performed by Benny Goodman.
Ooh. Well, that makes it perfect for them because they were probably alive when the song came out.
Yeah, it's immediately recognizable.
Yeah, everyone's heard this song. Abe is, of course, sad that Mr. Burns stole his date. And Jacqueline, for her part, never even really looks back at Abe. She just goes with Burns. Abe goes outside to be sad. He sees Smithers drive up to collect Burns and Mrs. Bouvier, and Smithers, of course, is not happy about this because, it's someone taking Mr. Burns from him. I'll let their conversation speak for itself.
I swear, Monty. You are the devil himself.
Who told you? Yes, Smith. I'd say you're an angel, but angels don't dance like that.
Good night, Mrs. Bouvier, wherever you are.
Mr. Simpson, I represent the estate of Jimmy Durante. I have a court order demanding an immediate halt to this unauthorized imitation. Boys?
Yeah.
Well, would it be all right with you if I just laid down in the street and died?
Yes, that would be acceptable.
Poor Grandpa.
So, poor Grandpa. He kind of gets screwed pretty hard.
I can't blame Marge's mom. Like,
oh no, absolutely not. I mean, Burns is rich. He's a hell of a dancer.
But Abe says, "I love you." That's their first official date. Kind of, they go to a dance. They haven't dated yet, right?
At
most, it's their second date. At most, if you want to consider the previous thing a date. This is their second date. Should not be saying "I love you" at your second date. It's not.
But they could only have months to live. They got to get through this pretty quick, Robbie. I mean, if you're gonna have it be on your seventh or eighth wife, you need to work on that.
Well, okay, we'll get into Act Three. We can start talking about old people doing it because I guess we're gonna have to. Burns.
Yes, absolutely. They're right, and it does happen. But anyway,
yes, Burns is super happy. She turned him down, I guess, for sex, is what they don't, it's not subtle, like, they say that. Smithers is like, you had sex with that old woman, Smithers. And Burns like, no, she turned me down, and she's only the second woman to turn him down since he's been a rich man, right?
He became rich when he was, like, what, 6 years old, so...
Marge turned him down, is she the first?
That'd be funny.
Apparently
the Bouvier family women are just like, nope.
But he can't even remember their names in later on, so I don't know. But he dismisses everyone from the power plant as long as they have been in love, right? That's the caveat.
Just that one poor guy.
One poor guy is just left there. But he has Smithers dictate him a letter.
Smithers, come over here and help me write a mash note to my girlfriend.
Fine. Darling one, read my words and hear my heart speak of a love soft and undying. A love that will be with you always. Sincerely, yada, yada, yada.
That's marvelous. How did you think of that so fast?
I sent it to you on your birthday. Excuse me, I have something in my eye.
Oh, poor Smithers.
Poor Smithers. There's a lot of sadness in this episode.
Everyone kind of gets screwed in the end.
Yeah, I guess so. Burns goes to go on a date with Marge's mother, and true to form, cannot identify both Homer and Marge. So he asks Smithers for advice.
It's Why, it's Fred Flintstone and his lovely wife, Wilma. Oh, and this must be Little Pebbles. Mind if I come in? I brought chocolates.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
It's really good.
That's a good joke.
And that's really good. Yeah. Is that the first time? No. We've already had Homer singing the Flintstones intro. So it's not the first time. And certainly not the last the Flintstone comparison will be made. Bart extorts $350 out of Mr. Burns with ketchup and mustard guns.
Which is a fantastic idea.
It works.
I'm surprised they haven't had those yet.
He gives him the money. He pays Homer back with that money. Homer doesn't quite understand, I guess, how credit cards work. Because he just takes the money and is going to go buy... Oh, what is he going to buy? It's scripts from Dateline?
Transcripts of Nightline.
Transcripts of Nightline. That's what... Of course. 70 plus transcripts from Nightline. Burns, is it that in this date that he proposes? When he picks her up?
I think so. That's what I'm saying. This has got to be a quick thing. They might be dead soon.
I guess. I just wish they had a little bit more about the passage of time in there. And you don't need to get married. I guess that's very old-fashioned.
That's true. Nowadays, old people do not get married.
They're just like, eh, we're old, whatever. Let's just do it. Have some fun.
We have no assets that anyone cares about.
Yeah. Burns,
if we do, it's going to our kids, not
Burns
you.
Proposes. Smartly, he has a backup ring, because the first ring gets swallowed by Marge's mother. He reaches into a hot bowl of soup. I think that's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Or fondue. Perhaps, but it's not...
Something hot liquid that he has to put his hand into.
Yeah, it's not pleasant. And she accepts. Marge is not happy. She does not want her mother marrying Mr. Burns.
What about Abe Simpson? Don't you have any feelings for him? Oh, he's a dear, but he's too much of an old fusspot. We're all aware of Grandpa's problems, but compared to Mr. Burns, he's Judge freaking Reinhold. I don't know who that is.
I don't know either.
You don't know who Judge Reinhold is?
I do not.
Beverly Hills Cop, Matt?
Oh, that's right. Now I remember now.
He was in, also in that, what's the name of it, from the 80s?
Fast Times Ridgemont High?
Correct, he was in that, he was the fast food guy, and he's the guy who saw Phoebe Cates from the bathroom.
I always get him confused with Ryan Stiles.
Yeah, they do look alike. Judge Reinhold is... I honestly think Ryan Stiles has had a better career than Judge Reinhold, despite Judge Reinhold being in Beverly Hills Cop. We cut to the wedding. It is going on. Barney has
got to be quick.
Got to
be next day.
Yeah, yeah. Keep it moving. Burns has rented out the church, and there's only one guy on Burns' side of the wedding, which is a random German man. He's wearing like a World War I style helmet. Is he supposed to be like a Kaiser? Is that what it's?
Well, Burns has always had ties to the Germans in some way or another.
Last time we saw the Germans, he was not yet along with them.
That's true, but he also made shells for the Nazis, so maybe it's the old Germans he enjoys.
he bamboozled the nice German guys. Exactly. Barney fills out Burns' side of the church, and. We see like a couple times during the service where Burns is being a jerk and Marge is trying to, you know, she's trying to convince her mother to call it off, but waiting for the wedding day is probably a little too late, but here's Burns.
True, but Burns is being an extra big jerk.
Burns being a jerk. Here's some.
And so when Eliphaz came down from Mount Hebron bearing figs, he offered them to Moham, who you will remember as the father of Shechem. And to Hazor on the occasion of their matrimony, much in the same...
We've heard enough about Blizzblaz and him-ham already. Get to the bloody point!
And then Burns proceeds to, like, kick Bart? Is that... Bart has the ring, and he, like, he pushes Bart down to get the ring, and then he jams the ring onto Jacqueline's finger. And at this point, Grandpa plays, apparently... Marge's mother's favorite song, which is Moonlight Serenade by Glenn Miller. And then it interrupts the wedding. It's taken directly from The Graduate. And Marge's mother decides to not marry either of them. But she
which
does.
Is probably a good idea.
Yeah, it's probably for the best. I think it's better to not marry either of them. But she does leave with Grandpa. They do leave together. I guess just to, you know, for companionship. It's not clear. They get on the bus, and we hear some faux Simon and Garfunkel as we go parody. But Grandpa wants Otto to turn off. Apparently Otto likes Simon and Garfunkel, or at least something sounds like Simon and Garfunkel, which seems out of character for Otto.
It does, but maybe he's playing it for the people on the bus who all seem to be elderly.
Yeah, it is a adequate parody of Simon and Garfunkel. And we get, actually, there's a little bit of Grandpa just rambling in the post-credit sequence as well, which is pretty funny. But that's how the episode ends. You know, wedding ruined, so to speak.
Yay.
Yeah. This is a weird episode, Matt.
It really is. It's kind of funny, but also really depressing at parts.
Yeah,
it's got the weird side story with Bart and Homer and the animation cell, and just it just doesn't seem to fit together.
It's odd. It's really funny. Like it's has a lot of great moments in it. Julie Kavner does a great job. At one point she's doing four voices in one scene. You know, she has to do both Marge and Marge's mother in the same scenes multiple times. It has a lot of weird, odd jokes in it, like weird references, and it's mostly about the old people in Springfield. Like, it's about Grandpa and Marge's mom and Mr. Burns, and it's a kind of a weird thing. They've gone on record and said that we've wanted to do an episode starring the old people, because generally you don't really ever see that in anything. You know, very little. And of art is about old people. Most people don't like to think about old people. And this episode, the sadness in it is kind of why, I think, for the most part, you know.
Well, it's true, but I mean, I know that there has to be. I know some very happy old people, and I feel like they just kind of played to stereotypes. Maybe old people were sadder in the 90s.
I don't know. Like, I think they had to play to the characters they had. You know, they couldn't, like. I was going to make a comparison. We'll save it for the end of the show when we rank this episode. No submissions for this from my favorite episode, but if you have a particular episode that is your favorite, just email me, simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com, about why a certain episode is your favorite, and I will read it on air when we get to it. I won't even bother playing the comments from the newsgroup clip, because there was not much there this week aside from the normal complaining.
Well, let's see. We found this episode a little tepid, so I'm pretty sure somebody there thought it was the best episode ever. Has to be.
It's up and down. It's not. There's never consistency, Matt. That's crazy talk. It's never a consensus. Everyone is completely, you know, divided on everything. But we will move on to our listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite John Swartzwelder written episode? He wrote somewhere in the neighborhood of 50-plus hello. Someone got excited. He wrote about 50-plus episodes, and a lot of good choices, and I was actually surprised. I'm glad you guys, you know, did. I posted links and all that, and I'm glad you guys put up your answers. Some people's answers were all of them. I'm sorry that it's not. I can't use that.
That is an answer, just not a very good one.
I can't use that. I'm sorry. First, we have Amanda Adron to Insanity, The Wizard of Evergreen Terrace, and The Makeup Shotgun. Perfection, beauty, danger. I love it. Mitch at Mitch Doyle 13. Homer the Vigilante, great story, packed with jokes, references, and an excellent guest star. # supply your own knobs. # dig up, stupid. John had Chapel Style 311. You already know. Mountain of Madness. Mr. Burns, you're the richest guy I know. Way richer than Lenny. # fire, 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 fire. Brett F.
Well, to be fair, Lenny lives in an apartment that shares a wall with a highlight cord.
Brett at Brett Frisky. Homer the Bat. It's my all-time favorite episode. Barney. Lord Palmerston. And Wait Box. Pitt the Elder. On to Amy's, her answer. This was a close one for me, but I have to go with Bart Carney. One of my personal top 10, Jim Jarney was an awesome guest star, and I love the admiration Homer has for the Carney code. Dialogue is hilarious, and I laugh just thinking of Homer saying, "Kings among men." Plus, how often does Homer outsmart someone? Old Man and Lisa, very close second. Mr. Burns is hysterical in that, especially talking to the school children. And I love Lisa running around telling everyone to stop recycling. Rhiannon, I'm going with Homer's Enemy. It's the perfect balance of dark and funny. I love Homer's relentless efforts to impress Frank Grimes, or Grimy, as he liked to be called, almost as much as I love Homer's complete lack of self-awareness. Not to mention that thanks to this very episode, I have a variety of excuses to use when I don't want to go to work. The car won't start. I don't feel very good today. I am at work. Adrian, the cartridge family, it taught me that a gun is a tool, like a butcher knife, or a harpoon, or an alligator, and they are great for keeping the King of England out of your face.
Alligators are my favorite tools, really.
Yeah, it's great. They're useful. That's a multitasker, as Alton Brown would say. Nick, his answer, Itchy and Scratchy Land is my choice. Pure comedic genius. Remember, kids, we're in the itchy lot. And finally, Brian's answer, Radioactive Man and Homer's Enemy are close behind, but as a child of amusement parks, Disney World was quite prominent in my childhood. I have to go with Itchy and Scratchy Land. It's a perfect satire of amusement parks, completely whack, and of course, is the origin of my nickname that Facebook sadly won't allow me to keep. Facebook. Matt, what is your answer?
Well, I got to be honest here. You Only Move Twice and Homer's Enemy are so, so near the top that it's... I really want to pick them, but I have to go with The Old Man and Elisa. I just think it is a fantastic episode. It's a Lisa-focused episode because, you know, it's me. I love Lisa. I'm like Ralph a lot in that way. But it's a great Burns moment. It's got that funny Homer heart attack thing at the end. It's got, you know, Marge being moral. It's got basically everything that I really enjoy about The Simpsons, except for a ton of movie and literature references. But I'll forgive it just this once because it's just... it's so hilarious to see Mr. Burns be evil when he's trying to help.
I'm surprised, man.
I know.
I expected you to pick...
I looked at the list of ones he did, and that's just the one that jumped out of me.
I honestly expect you to pick Homer versus the 18th Amendment.
Yeah, well, we'll see if we watch that episode again very soon.
It's fair enough. I will pick, not a surprise, Homer's Enemy.
Of course,
there was several other people who there. If you find it quick, let's see. Daniel on our Facebook thread. Anytime you guys ask a question that includes Homer's Enemy as a possible answer, that will be my answer every time. and yeah, I love Homer's Enemy. It perfectly encapsulates The Simpsons for me, and it's amazing. I cannot. Though there's many, many great episodes he wrote. Some of which I read, and some of which there's so many. It's hard, I don't have time to go through all of them. There's so many good ones. So yeah, our next week's question, in the same vein, a smaller field to pick from. What is your favorite Bill Oakley, Josh Weinstein written episode? They wrote this one. They wrote many episodes. I'll do the same thing I did this week and post a link to everything, but yeah, a smaller field, but still a lot of good ones to contend with. I'm gonna have to think about this one, think a little bit more than I will about the Swartzwelder question, but I will post this question on all of our social media, facebook.com/thesimpsonsshowpod, Twitter @simpsonsshowpod, and again, you can email me at simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. Reach out to me any of those places, and follow, like, you know, whatever. Engage with the content, man. Next segment, Matt. This is my last ditch effort. I have to do something.
Oh, great. I even went a little easy on you this week.
Well, I'm scared. It won't help. And it's time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each challenge each other with three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, one hard, try and stump the other. There is a wager for this season 5. Whoever loses at the end of the season will have to drink a concoction of blended Simpsons food items we are calling the Malk Shake. I am behind 5 points, going with two episodes left, including this one. That means I'm going to have to make at least half, unless Matt somehow blanks on all three of these questions, I'm going to have to make up some of that in this episode. If I can't, I'm pretty much done for. But I try to be fair, not too tough with my questions.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You'll see. I try to be fair. Well, you can be the judge, Matt. There's all, drama is good. You know, we want to keep it close. We don't want people to get disinterested, right?
Exactly. That's why I went a little easy on you this week. At least I think so.
Of course. Yeah, you said you went easy on me last week, too, and I got 1 point. I'm going to start us off, Matt. You ready for an easy question?
I hope so.
You know this. These are all very pretty much simple theme. I just kind of went with Springfield.
Okay.
What is Springfield's rival city?
That would be Shelbyville.
That is correct.
Among others, like North Haverbrook and Ogdenville.
Those are not true rivals.
That's true. All right, your easy question. Who are Jacqueline Bouvier's three children?
Marge Selma Patty.
You are correct, sir.
Yeah, I got a point. All right, medium question. Springfield was founded in what year?
Ooh. Springfield was founded in... Man, I... 1767?
Sorry.
Ah, damn.
1796.
96. Oh, that was way off.
You were in the right century?
I wasn't even in the right decade. Anyway, all right, your medium question. What were Jacqueline Bouvier's only words to Marge on Thanksgiving in Bart versus Thanksgiving?
Oh, God. I went easy on you. Easy. You're a crazy person. Easy. Okay. She had a sore throat, mm-hmm. so she couldn't talk much. And it was after everything got ruined. This is the worst Thanksgiving I've ever had.
I have laryngitis and a sore throat or something like that. You never do anything right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't remember that whatsoever, obviously.
Right, fair enough.
Your hard question, right. Matt. This is a hard one. According to Papa's Got a Brand New Badge, what is Springfield's population?
Oh my gosh.
Season 13.
You're looking for an exact number, right?
Yep. I'll say it's five digits.
25,387.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the ballpark. 30,720.
Yeah, nowhere even close.
You're within 5,000. It could have been anywhere from 10,000 to 99999. So
So I did pretty well. I got 5% off.
Exactly. It wasn't that bad.
All right. This is actually pulling from two different episodes.
Oh, Jesus.
What two types of crops are apparently grown at Jacqueline's house?
I can guess. There's only so many plants on Earth.
That's true.
I just gotta knock those variables down. I will say pumpkins and corn.
That's your final answer?
Yes. Does it matter? No. Yes, that's my final answer.
Oh, you got one out of two. Not bad. Other is beans, because the Simpsons kids go to pick beans at grandma's house.
Which is the right one, corn or pumpkin?
Corn.
Oh, okay.
This is a cornfield, honey.
I don't remember.
It's from Fear of Flying.
Again, this show has made me aggressively worse at trivia. I just want to make that. I get worse every week, I think, honestly.
I think it's getting down to the line, and we're both like, nope.
All that knowledge is just getting shoved out of my head. Okay, so we both got 1 point. I just have to make up five next week. It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I can do it. I can do it.
You absolutely can. I believe in you.
Okay, Matt. I have 10 questions from John. These are all from You Only Move Twice.
Oh, gosh.
All of them. I want rapid fire, okay? And I don't want you thinking hard about any of these. You should be able to get most of them, at least. What company hires Homer?
Globe something.
Globex. Fast. Globex. Globex. What is Homer's lifelong dream in this episode?
To own the Dallas Cowboys.
Where do the Simpsons move to?
Oh, crap. I know this.
You turn
I give up.
Cypress Creek.
Cypress Creek, damn it.
Whose hat,
me all flustered.
Whose hat does Homer buy in order to further motivate his underlings?
Tom Landry?
Correct. The promotional video for Hank Scorpio's Town features the physical transformation of a bum into what?
A trash can.
Mailbox. Who moves into the Simpsons' house when they leave town?
Who moves into... Oh, Otto.
Correct. What is the sentence Bart cannot read in his new school? The one in cursive.
I have no idea.
Quentin and Tammy went to the zoo on Sunday.
Of course.
Swindon. Why does Lisa want to move back to Springfield?
She's allergic to everything.
Correct. What is the project that Homer was working on for Hank Scorpio?
Getting their nuclear reactor online.
The name of it, man.
Arcturus?
Correct. The last time we see Hank Scorpio, he is on the front page of a newspaper with a headline that says what?
Supervillain conquers East Coast.
Seizes East Coast.
Seizes, damn.
So close. But yeah, so far. Thank you, John, for those questions. We are happy to accept more questions. I will grill Matt with them. Unfortunately, he does not get bonus points for
it's
them.
It's fun.
You can also submit theme suggestions, which we'll center questions around. You can reach out to me at any of our social media, any of those places, and let me know if you have any ideas for that stuff. It is time for our final segment, Matt. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. This is a weird one, Matt.
It is. I feel like...
Where do you put it? I was thinking of the other obvious comparison is Old Money. Grandpa episode, also Grandpa romance episode with Beatrice Simmons.
I honestly don't think this one is as good.
I don't know. I think it's funnier than Old Money.
True, but it seems like the jokes are less to do with the story.
They have nothing to do with the story for the most part. I think the main problem I have with this episode is that it relies too much on Marge's sympathy and empathy with Marge's mother, which I have almost none. Mm-hmm. She's every time up until this episode, she's been shown to be kind of bitter and mean, to Homer and Marge often.
Well, that and it relies a lot on laughing at Grandpa and his goofy antics and his sadness, which, you know, for one or two gags an episode seems kind of funny, but once you see Grandpa sad over and over and over again, it just kind of gets to you a little bit.
I kind of appreciate what this episode is going for. I'm kind of glad that it exists, but... Mm-hmm. It's a very strange one.
And I think they could have done better if they were trying to focus on, the older people in Springfield. I really think they could have done a better job.
I think they already did a better job in Old Money.
Absolutely. But I'm saying if they wanted to, I don't know, there's so many different ways you could focus on the elderly of Springfield and do a really funny episode around them. And this just seems like they had to stretch to include the core family because they felt like they needed to.
Okay, Old Money is number 64. So it's not better than that. Is it better than Blood Feud? Slop-a-lop-a-kettle.
I don't think it's as good as
Sectop-a-lop-a-kettle. How about, what about Homer Alone? How about Homer Alone?
It's right there with Homer Alone for me. I definitely think it's better than Treehouse of Horror 2, but I really like Homer Alone. It's one of those episodes that has heart, is funny, and really only stars the core family and the location of Rancho Relaxo. That's really all there is to it. And maybe a little bit of Patty and Selma. So I would say right after Homer Alone, just above Treehouse of Horror 2.
Okay, that's fine with me. I do not have strong feelings about this episode. What just happened? Why is it doing that? I think I just thought it was you. It's there. Okay. Right below Homer Alone would put Lady Bouvier's Lover at number 67. I believe that is our lowest ranked episode for season 5.
Yeah, I feel sad about that, but
it's not bad. I'm certainly not calling it bad. It's just really, I don't know. I think it's trying to be heartfelt and really like silly and funny at the same time. And the heartfelt stuff does not really deliver. It's mostly just sad, and I don't like. It's not funny enough to like redeem the inherent sadness. And I guess I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
Okay. Number 67, Lady Bouvier's Lover. Still, number one is Cape Fear. And in last place is number 101. Now our list is all broken. I guess it doesn't go... The Google thing does not work over 100 or something. But number 101 is Homer's Odyssey. Still in last place. And it will be there for some time. Eventually, it will be surpassed, I promise. It's just a matter
of... Someday.
We're Matt and our tag team in this Google Drive document. We're gonna get.
It doesn't like to number things past 100. It gets a little wonky.
We're gonna make it work. What is our next episode, Matt?
Oh, let's see. I don't have my list up today. Shoot.
I'll let you know. How about this? It is the final episode of season 5, and is Secrets of a Successful Marriage.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I have not seen this one in a long time.
This is one I've actually seen fairly recently. I have very good memories of it. It's gonna be good.
We'll see how I feel about it. It's a Marge Homer episode. We'll see. You can find our best episode ever list on our website. It is simply thesimpsonsshow.com. Everything is there. New episodes, you can stream them and download them. Links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, if you want easy links to those stuff. To our RSS feed, to our Patreon, if you want to support us. We obviously appreciate that. This is a labor of love. And this list, yeah. I think that will do it for this week. But before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. Please check out my comic book podcast. It is Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com, iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media. Unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer, you will not find him.
That's true. However, I have decided that thanks to my annual pass, I will be living at the Harry Potter resort section of the Universal Orlando theme park. So if you see someone there in Gryffindor robes that have been hastily recolored to purple because Ravenclaws rule, that'll be me. Say hi.
I can confirm that Ravenclaws do rule.
It's true. No matter what the test says, stupid Gryffindors. What?
You're just so upset about that. It's really funny.
It makes everyone a Gryffindor, damn it.
Didn't make me a Gryffindor.
I'm
solid Ravenclaw. Like, not even close to anything else.
How do you know?
I took the test.
It doesn't give you a percentage for
I don't know what test you took. The test I took.
The one on Pottermore?
I think so, yeah. I think your sister actually delivered it to me while we were driving to Miami. She did. We did everyone in the car. We did Eric. We did me. We did. I think her and Vanessa already had their results, but I'm like 70%+ Ravenclaw.
Not fair.
With that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.